Blog Talk Radio.
Us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. If you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
the original McFadden and Whitehead. Welcome in, everybody, the fastest 6 minutes of sports. Yours truly, Vinny Moore. Now, this is a bit of an odd show. Let me just say it right now. We are not in our 22939 studio. We're not surrounded by a bunch of yak fans just having a good time and yucking it up. Today, we are actually in St. James Hospital. And you're sitting there going, what? We're at St. James Hospital, and throughout the hour, I'll tell you exactly why we're broadcasting the fastest 6 minute sports from St. James. But kudos to the staff here. They've done an amazing job, with the exception of breakfast this morning. That was pretty bad. Anyway, notwithstanding that, a tremendous staff, a tremendous amount of amazing people around me, and to all of you who have chimed in either through email, texts, or otherwise. Number one, wanting to know how I'm doing. Number two, wanting to know why in the Sam craze would you be doing a show when you're supposed to be relaxing? So let me tell you how this works. This is my release. This is my comfort level. This is my come down. This is my de-stress moment. The time I get to spend behind a microphone with you is relaxing. Please understand that we can get into heated conversations, and I contend to you, I simply unwind. It's that simple. So, 8 minutes, eight minutes past the hour in the morning here in Middle Earth. Chicago takes care of Pittsburgh yesterday in the, I guess, the outdoor hockey game, 5-1. So we'll have to try to see if we can get some highlights from that for you, as well as what's going on with your NFL teams and their combine stars and who they're looking to draft. That's coming up in a few weeks. Did you get a chance to watch the combine? Maybe you did. Maybe you just read some things. Tell me what the plan is for your team if you happen to know it. This is worldwide, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. Call in. Let's have a conversation about it. Last week got myself into a bit of a pickle because I actually asked the world why Michael Sam coming out and announcing that he was going to be the first openly gay athlete coming to the NFL, why that was news. And people just want to know, what do you mean? Well, let me clarify this one more time, and I really hope this is the last time we have to do this, but nonetheless, it's okay. Back in the 1970s and through the 80s, there have been players who have either lived their own particular choices of lifestyles, and they kept it to themselves. Because as far as I'm concerned as a fan, do I really care that your sexual orientation is a matter of public record? All I care about is, can you help my team win? That's it, okay? You know, Jason Collins playing in the NBA, the big to-do with Jason Collins Day and president calling him and the first lady supporting him, those are all well and good. That's fine. But why is his sexual orientation going to help in Collins' house the Celtics win a ball game? Why is Michael Sam's orientation going to help maybe, a second or third round picking team, the Bills or whoever? Why is that going to help? And his numbers at the combine were less than stellar. If I've got to choose between Donald Fair and Jadeveon Clowney and players like that over a guy who was a SEC Defensive Player of the Year but put up terrible numbers at the combine, I got to go with what I see. So if you want to be judged as an NFL player, just as a football player, keep what needs to be private, private. It's that simple, okay? I hearkened before that the offensive line back in the 70s during the Steelers' big Super Bowl runs, a lot of those guys had lifestyle differences, I guess. I'm trying to be politically correct here. Their orientation was not a matter of public record. That's really what I want to say, okay? There were a number of them that came out later and said, hey, this is what it is. And that's fine. That's their business, okay? And if you want to out yourself, that's fine. It's your business, okay? But in terms of news and newsworthiness, why is that news? Why is that news? I hearken anyone to call me and tell me why that's news. 619-639-4747. You can call me with a legitimate reason. I might even find a gift card to give you. Something, because I don't see that as news. In the NBA, it's not news unless Jason Collins goes off for 30 points, 15 rebounds, and he helps the Celtics win a ball game, maybe win a playoff series. Maybe is his orientation news, or is it just him and his play that's news? Because that's what should be the news. Okay, when things happen in this world, albeit good or bad, it is the incident. We can do all the digging after the fact, okay? But the fact that someone who is openly gay has come out and said, I'll be the first openly gay player going to the NFL draft. And in every opportunity you get to get in front of a camera, there you are. Well, the sizzle that might have been there the first 5-10 minutes is gone. Now you just look like a media whore. And that's too bad. It shouldn't be like that. It really is too bad. But anyway, what's going on in the Facebook world? All is quiet for the moment. Who's chimed in so far? Smiley faces from the north, thank you very much. Smiley faces from the dealerships in the Matson Auto Mall, thank you very much. Okay. That's it for the moment. 619-639-4747. Again, no sound? That's not good. All right, guys, if you can hear me, then please let me know. Send me a message on Facebook or something. Let me know if there's an issue with that. If there's no sound, then... that's not what it says. It says big sound. Okay, I guess you can hear me. Very good. All right. And from the message boards, let's see. Thank you. All right, dog. Morning kisses. Don't be bored. You sound great. Okay, good. Good. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. All right. Why I got to be ignorant? Nonetheless, all right. Fast as 60 Sports rolls on, 13 past the hour, on what has been a crazy weekend, certainly for myself personally. And so let me thank some people right now for their love and their concern. I came here on Friday to have this knot in the back of my left leg checked out. That's what I came here for. And I remember my stepdad in his later years, about in his mid-80s, once saying, you go there for one thing and they find a bunch of other things. Yeah, well, I never had that happen to me until Friday. So I walk in the door, and before I can even tell Dr. Hagel what's going on, he says, we have another problem. Okay. And I'm thinking it to be something like, maybe you're stressed, maybe you're thinking too hard. But the blood pressure was off the chain. I mean, we're talking 220 over 110, like stroke level, like you shouldn't be functioning. Okay, we need to address that. That became the priority. And so we spent the day in a bunch of testing and a bunch of other things going on, and numbers started to come down like they should. And it appears, and I use this term loosely, it appears as if something I have consumed caused this spike. Or something I ingested caused this spike. Appears is the operative word there, because we still do not know. Okay, so about 8-9 o'clock on Friday night, numbers coming down in line, but by Saturday morning, numbers are elevated again. Huh? Okay, is it the way I'm sleeping? Yeah, and Dr. Mulk, who's kind of the floor doctor, was saying that maybe there's something going on with sleep patterns, and it just begins to start to snowball to some degree. So I said, you know what? One monkey doesn't stop the show. Now, you guys know me. I'm not going to stop living. I'll rest when I die, okay? That is a faith-driven – please understand what I said. This is faith-driven, all right? There's work to be done. The men's mentoring program is huge, and that needs to get done. The mentoring for our at-risk youth, the guys and the girls, that has to get done. I would love to have the support of other brothers out in this area getting out here doing the work for whatever the reason at this point. Maybe they're simply busy. Maybe I need to keep looking for more brothers. They just haven't stepped up to do that. So this is an FYI. On April the 11th at the Harvey Park District at the Gloria Taylor Center, yours truly, along with the Park District, will be having the at-risk youth, the at-risk girls together. And we're looking for speakers to come have a conversation with these young ladies about choices and decisions in life to maybe get them back on track. And we're offering this out to schools from the entire Chicagoland area for their at-risk youth to bring them in. And let's just have a conversation and some dialogue, some open dialogue without restrictions. This is not necessarily a PC kind of thing. This is, let's get down to the root of what's causing some of these decisions. Many of you know about the security officer that was killed while trying to break up a girl fight. That seems to be at the forefront of the dialogue, at least initially, how we can avoid situations like this, and when did our little princes, our little babies, get to this level, and how we rein them back in and just get them set on a path of success in life. So that's April the 11th. Prior to all that, there'll be a bunch of men's mentoring sessions. I had the good luxury of being in one with Pastor Otis Lane recently, who is just been busy working with young men at Bremen High School. He's a dean there, just trying to set these brothers on a path for success and making better decisions. So Anyone who wants to participate, by all means, find me. Okay, you can find me in several ways. You can certainly find me by searching The Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. You can find me on Facebook. You can send me an, let's do this. You can send me an email. How about that? Send an email if you're interested in helping the men's mentoring program or any type of guidance or leadership for our young kids. And the kids in this case are from the age of 8 to 18. All right? Let's put some criteria behind this. 8 to 18, okay? At-risk youth, boys and girls. All right? Reach out to me, please. Email address is V as in Victor, I as in Indigo, N as in Nancy, L as in Larry, U as in Umbrella, V as in Victor, 1207 at gmail.com. All right? If you have the wherewithal, by all means, reach out to me because this is critical. All right? These are not only are they our children, they're the next generation of leaderships in this country and this nation. With everything going on that is evil, that is just, you know, poor decisions, even by our current leadership, not even in America, but in other countries. You know, most of you are aware that Russia has invaded the Ukraine. Now, maybe you don't think that's a big deal, but it could turn, it could, that could escalate into what unfortunately could turn into another world war. So just be mindful of those things. I'm not anticipating having to send 30 or 40,000 troops into a region that we barely know nothing about, but the reality is this is how wars begin, all right? Someone takes it upon themselves to go into what was once their nation. Now it's not their nation anymore, but they feel like it is, and the next thing you know, emotions get involved and people start wars, and children, innocent kids, innocent soldiers, unfortunately, are put in harm's way. And we, if we can avoid that, we need to at all costs. All right? So 619-639-4747. Again, 639-64. I just forgot the doggone number. That's kind of silly. 619-639-4747. Click. There you go. 4747. Give us a call. Let's have a conversation about what's going on in your world. Kudos to the city of Indianapolis. Not only does it have house the best basketball team on record right now in the NBA, it also houses the one of the best DJs in the world. All right. So to Marco Young, you know, the young man that I like to think I had a hand in at least maybe grooming to some degree when he was young. Congratulations on your success. Congratulations on your continued success. You're going to be phenomenal. And yes, you have more bass than I do. I know you probably wanted some confirmation on that all these years. Yeah, here you go. All right. This brother has grown up, and the bass in his voice is brilliant. Okay. A great DJ, a great talented young man, and I'm proud to call him my friend. All right. So we have some things to do today. We have some news of the weird, which is always a bit weird. Of course, your updates in the NBA, the NHL. Some of you heard early on the Blackhawks winning yesterday 5-1 in the outdoor game at Soldier Field. 63,000 fans, and I don't care who you are, to go to see a game on ice in cold weather off the lakefront, that's got to be an experience. You are a special breed to sit out there for that many hours in that cold, in that wind, off that lakefront. At least the Blackhawks took care of business, 5-1 over the Pittsburgh Penguins, and we'll talk more about that as we get to the update phase of the show. What did I want to share with you? A couple of highlights from 2013. I'm going to take liberty right now and get some of these in right now as best we can. Many of you are the big Bears fans that follow the show. Thank you guys for being great. You do realize that the Bears were a 4th-and-8 defense away from making the playoffs. But in the midst of the disappointments played by the defense this year, there were some great things, some great moments. Okay, so let's find a great obscure moment in this year, and we'll share that with you. So give me 47 seconds, and we'll bust this out. All right, we'll come back to you in less than a minute. Thanks.
Bears will run a play. The 2-minute warning will stop after a first down. And this is Michael Bush, and Bush is into the end zone. And that is a touchdown for the Bears, which will keep their playoff hopes alive. A 2-touchdown lead with a little more than 2 minutes to go.
Well, the Cleveland Browns knew it was going to be a run. They brought everybody down in, but they didn't keep the gap integrity we talked about. Nice cutback by Michael Bush to go the distance for the touchdown and seal this for the Bears.
And, of course, we hope to hear a lot more of that going into next year. Mark Trestman's second year as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. And, again, by the way, for those of you looking for a car and trying to avoid some of the craziness, crazy pricing, some of you know I bought a 2000 Nissan Altima a couple of weeks ago. And I got this, I want to say I got it off Craigslist, but it was Steve's Auto Zoo, and just a really, really good guy. you know, when you buy a car from a single owner, you tend to feel a little better about it than necessarily buying it from a dealership that can tell you. Often a bunch of fabrications to get you geeked up and sold in a car that winds up being less than advertised. But this Nissan Altima has been nothing short of, as advertised, it's been a very durable car. Now, again, it's a 2000 Altima 2.5. It's not going to blow the doors off. It's not going to go speeding down the road. And it's not going to impress you with, you know, with its colors, per se, and the shine. But if you need just a serviceable vehicle and someone to work with you that's going to be honest, check out Steve's out on. For those of you on Facebook, Chicago Hustlers Association, I believe that's his group out there. So you get a chance to do that. Oh, also, while I'm running down the people I care about and enjoy, kudos to the people up in Minnesota. Now, without naming names, because I know you want to stay anonymous, thank you. Thank you for your care and your concern. Thank you for reaching out and your love. It does not go unnoticed. It just doesn't. I truly, truly appreciate you. Appreciate how you care. When this show was listed in the web today, the first person to call me was, "You're supposed to be relaxing. Why are you doing a show?" And I had to remind and convey that this is my relaxation, having a conversation with some of the most intelligent people on the planet. If it's nothing more than you listening and or you chiming in, whatever it is, I appreciate you. I love you. And there's absolutely nothing, I mean nothing, you can do about it. All right. So to those of you who are curious about yours truly, let me bring you up to speed. Told you I came in here for a knot on the back of the leg. That's what I came for. Next thing I know, the blood pressure is off the chains, and I don't know why. And it wasn't like that 24 hours earlier. There's been no symptom, no headache, no nothing. And that's why they call blood pressure the silent killer, because a lot of times there aren't any. So I like myself, and I kind of like being who I am and what I do, and certainly I believe my life's full of purpose, especially when working with other people. So let me take care of myself. And when the doctor told me I was going to have to spend a night in the hospital, I've never spent a night in the hospital, all right? Even during the times with my mom and dad and with all their different health challenges, I'd never spent a night in the hospital. Now, it's just some background here. I'm 51 years old, okay? And anyone who's gotten to know me knows I love life. I'm full of life, okay? I am overweight. No, I'm not going to say because I'm a big man, okay? So I got to make some changes, right? I'd like to thank Dr. Ken up in Airdrie up there in Alberta for all of his guidance, the gluten-free, just making some better choices in life, getting off this lazy tail and moving around, getting some exercise. All those things are absolutely critical, and I certainly need to do more of that. So we'll aspire to those things. I got to go buy me some new running shoes. Okay, fine. I got to go buy me some new walking shoes. probably, depending on what time I get out here today, perhaps on Monday. So I am encouraging all the nurses that can hear me, even here in the hospital, to come run this blood pressure as often as you need to until these numbers make sense. What has been a little bit disconcerting is no one can seem to find out why. So here I am on what would be, the fourth or fifth meal from the hospital. By the way, as hospital foods go, this isn't bad. It really isn't. Actually, the low cholesterol eggs were pretty good, to be honest with you. The worst thing I've had since I've been here was the soy little meatloaf. That was pretty bad. The steamed veggies were good. Of course, cereal. There's a light peach Yoplait yogurt tray on here. It looks like it might be pretty okay. We're not going to drink the high citrus OJ because that'll spike numbers as well. So I did hear this while I was here, though. I heard this actually on the internet radio show. There was a physician on saying, you know, how can you control fat absorption as well as blood pressure? And he suggested, and again, I can't take credit for this. I heard this on the internet. Someone else said this. But he suggested that a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar and a teaspoon, get this now, of organic honey. That's it. Apple cider vinegar and honey. I don't know if you make that in a tea. And if you're going to do it in a tea, do it in a green tea. All right, if you're going to do it in a tea, please do it in a green tea, because you'll get the antioxidant benefit and everything else. Hit that twice a day, and I dare you to come back to me after a week and tell me how you feel. All right? And there's something good about this apple cider vinegar. I mean, it does add a kick to your taste, but trust me, it can be strong, okay? It can be a bit of a shock to the system. It's an adjustment, but I think you'll be okay. Now, back to me talking about my wonderful friends, those in Indianapolis and those north of the border, way north of the border, up near the Canadian border in Minnesota, all right? I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you, how much I love you, and how much you mean to me. Thank you for being a part of my world, a part of my life. Thank you for caring. All right. As always, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. To my friends in Calgary, Airdrie, Red Deer, all the way up there, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Appreciate the support of the show. Appreciate the support of me, okay? I'm fine, all right? I am fine. They gave me some Lasix and an IV, and I guess that's just a diuretic to flush the system. Man, that was fun. Anyway, guess you just had to be there. All right, let's have some fun. What's this? Chicago Blackhawks. What's going on? Okay, rule of thumb, okay? You can only get well if something is wrong. Something is out of whack does not necessarily mean something is wrong. This may be a shot of awareness. And so I love you guys, appreciate it, but I'm not sniffling, I'm not gagging, I'm not coughing, I don't feel sick. Something is amiss by normal standards. But then again, Michael Jordan was 6'6" and 230 pounds, and they told him he was obese because someone had set up what standards should be. Okay. I've learned in this life after 51 years that someone else's standards can get you in trouble. Okay, if you have faith, an honest faith, and leaning not to your own understanding, but in all their ways acknowledge him, you find that someone else's perspective can get lost on what heaven can do for you. I'm not jading what we know to be fact, but I'll give credit where credit is due. My God has me, and I appreciate you guys so much. So for those of you who wanted to call the show but didn't want to call the show because you figured you'd get emotional, it's okay. All right, I appreciate you. I know you're doing that out of love. I really do. Okay, and I'm still planning on doing this this stadium tour at some point where, you know, we maybe go start in Boston and just travel up and down the seaboards and through Middle Earth and see all these things, see the sights. And it's going to cost me a ton of money, so please support this show. If for nothing more than I really want to go on my stadium tour, but I won't be too bratty about that. Anyway, all right. Well, we do have some sports to talk about. Hello, Marcus Smart returns for Oklahoma State, and the team starts winning again. Upsetting Kansas yesterday, so we got to talk about college basketball, the bubble watch. All right. But those of you college basketball fans, and I know some of you down in Middle Earth really aren't because your schools are almost never in that conversation. I don't think we're going to see SIU there unless they win a conference tournament. I don't think we're going to see Eastern. We probably won't even see Illinois this year. It's been a really rough go for Illinois this year. They're like 5-10 in conference, 16-12 overall. Not a good look for my nurse Judy's here. Hi, Judy. Anyway, so back to the bubble watch. Every team with work to do, it's equal. But some are more difficult equals than others. Closing in on the end of the regular season, then we're 16 days away from Selection Sunday, if you can actually believe it. With that proximity comes a more tightly wound bubble dynamic. Again, who should be number one in college basketball? Should it be Wichita State at 31-0, just completing an undefeated season? Because the pundits don't seem to think so. Florida is ranked number one right now with a one-loss team. However, I question why that is. Well, Florida has a tougher schedule, and that gets credit. Wichita State, Missouri Valley Conference, okay, maybe not the same level of competition, that's certainly not. Either way it goes, how do you go 31-0 and get no love from the nation? Forgetting who you played 31 times, you went on that court as a team, and you have not lost once. It harkens me back to the great Illinois squad of 2005 that was running the gamut all the way up until the point where they got to the NCAA title game against North Carolina and lost that game. I know it was a sucky way to go, but nonetheless, that's how it went down. In the meantime, here's your team, hopefully your team, not on the bubble, but already richly etched in what would be the fabric of a tournament. And then here comes the North Carolina out of nowhere, a pathetic season, and all of a sudden they rip off 10 straight wins. And now North Carolina is in the thick of everything. So they're going to be on Big Monday and follow that game. I'm not sure they're playing, but they got a game Monday, and they're going to turn right back around and go back down to Duke, play Duke again. And before you know it, North Carolina has literally driven its way right back into contention scenes for at least a 3-4 seed in the NCAA tournament. So for you bubbleheads out there, the bubble watchers, keep watching. It's going to turn over one more time. Let's move to the NHL. Frontline headline news for the National Hockey League today certainly is the Blackhawks' domination of the Pittsburgh Penguins in the snow. Apparently it was snowing at the time. 5-1. And just to see some of the highlights, if you get a chance, go out to ESPN.com /NHL and take a look at the NHL page. Of course, the hockey, much like all sports, has a trade deadline. That trade deadline is 3 days, 4 hours and 27 minutes to go in it. Let's look at your hockey standings and get you an idea of what you're up against for the playoff picture. Tick-tock, tick-tock. News of the Weird will be next. Eastern Conference right now, Boston sits atop that with 79 points, followed by Montreal, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Detroit, Ottawa, Florida, and Buffalo. Just out of that spectrum, yeah. Let's go wild card standings. There we go. Guys, hang on 1 second. It's always amazing when the nurses come by and spoil your run. Okay, they do a great job here. All right, so Eastern Conference standings in hockey. We know about Boston. It's almost as if there's a collision course pending with Boston and Chicago one more time again. And if you're a Boston Bruins fan, you kind of want that. You do. You want that. You want another shot at what apparently, according to Barry Melrose, is the, well, maybe one of the last opportunities you're going to have a repeat championship in the Chicago Blackhawks. That team is good. They're deep. They're skilled. And they seem to have bounced back after the 2-1 loss to the Rangers the other night, which was the first game after the Olympics. And they looked a lot like the Chicago Blackhawks against Pittsburgh. Boston's 59-37-17. 79 points on the board. Now, they've lost their last two, but still sit atop the Atlantic Division. Pittsburgh sits atop the Metropolitan Division at 60-40-16 with 84 points. Again, most points there. Rolling down to the Western Conference, of course, where our Blackhawks live, 62-36-12 with 86 points. And the number one team coming out of the West here is the Anaheim Ducks, 61-42-14 with 89 points. All right. They've won two. Of course, the Blackhawks have just won their one most recently. They're 4-4-2 in the last 10. It's going to be a fun finish to the season. We are sitting at, 22 games left in the season. 20 to 22 games, depending on your schedule, left in the season. So now comes the push. The push to get healthy, the push to get the best seeding. There are certainly teams you do not want to see in the first rounds. If you're the opposing team, you don't want to see Chicago. You don't want to see St. Louis. You don't want to see Anaheim. San Jose is also very, very good. Okay, this may be the first time someone will say this, but you want to see the LA Kings maybe in the first round. Maybe you want to see Vancouver, Phoenix in the first round. All right. Calgary has played 60 games. They're 7 games under 500, but that team always scares me because they got more talent than they've actually shown. Okay. Thankfully, I got a chance to spend a couple of almost two years in Calgary. Amazing city, 1.6 million people. Some of the nicest, kindest people you'll ever meet in the world. All right. So that's your NHL love. Any questions, give me a call, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. All right. Now, what are we going to do with this? We got plenty of football highlights. We got plenty of this. Lots of hockey highlights. Do you need a break? No, you're straight. Okay. Came in, got what I need there. Bears Browns highlights, Blackhawks Golden. All right, let's do this for the sake of my NHL fans. All right. Right now. That is the song that you hear every time the Blackhawks score at the United Center. And all indications are you're going to hear a lot more of that. I will have to try to find you some highlights from the Penguins-Blackhawks game. I guess the game was yesterday. Suffice to say, that was a lot of fun playing outdoors in the snow. For a lot of these, the players, certainly it reminds them of days when they were, again, many of these guys are from Canada. So for them to be outdoors playing on the frozen ice, certainly, of course, ice is always frozen, on the ice in the snow and not necessarily in a stadium, had to be a lot of fun. Okay. Of course, winning 5-1 is always good as well. All right, let's see. This is just in from the Chicago Blackhawks. Some of you heard this before, but we'll play it one more time for you. This is their iteration with Sam Cooke. Let the good times roll. Courtesy of the Chicago Blackhawks.
A good time roll. I'm gonna stay here till I soothe my soul. If it take all night long, yeah. Everybody let the good time roll. We gonna stay here till we soothe our souls. If it take all night long.
All right, this just in from our friends in Indianapolis. Has the NCAA and conferences across the country gone too far with these mega merger conferences? Money ahead of quality. Well, unfortunately, we live in a capitalistic society, which is almost all, you know, about what's in the best interest financially of the organization, not necessarily what's in the best interest of the players, for that matter, coaches or administrators or universities as a whole. We've watched schools like Missouri go from the Big 12 to the SEC, and that disappears to have been a gigantic money grab. The fact that Missouri got some resources and got really good in a hurry to the point of where a top 10 rated football program is a – well, I mean, that's Missouri. They'll tell you it was a big-time plus. Now they're playing in the toughest, biggest, best conference in college football, so all they need to do now is win. Will you ever see a Missouri team beat an Alabama? Well, you might one day. You never know. You might see Missouri compete. Well, I think actually they pretty much dominated Tennessee this year. But the fact is it bad? Is it bad for sports? Has the NCAA gone too far allowing these things? Well, you've also got the push to pay players. So here you are. For the sake of let's put a scenario together. Your name is Mark Young. Okay, you are a running back on a football team, and because you have this fandom, and because let's say 80, 90,000 people every Saturday that they see you play, pack that stadium to see their favorite running back perform. And you go out there and you rush 4 touchdowns, 205 yards, get all the accolades, get all the socializing you could possibly get. And at the end of the day, the school owes you nothing because they've given you a full ride scholarship. Okay? There's a big-time push to create stipends now for players. Of course, Duke's is a basketball school historically, but it had a very good football program this year. If you create a stipend, some type of compensation for the players who otherwise cannot have a job because they're full-time scholarship athletes, they can do a variety of things because of that tag. And now you want to give them a percentage or a stipend and spread it out throughout all members of the team so they get something. Are we opening ourselves up to everybody doing the same thing? I mean, it can start in football, then it permeates to basketball. Cameron Indoor at Duke University holds 18,000 to 19,000 people every time there's a game there. And those kids are faithful, and those ticket sales are consistent. Are we giving basketball players now something? Okay. And when the national championship in softball maybe gets about 3,000 people to the final game once a year, are we playing the softball players? Because I think the ineffectiveness and inequality that you're going to create is going to be catastrophic. All right? Because if you're going to do it for one, you need to do it for all. All right? And while one size may not fit all, the program needs to fit all, no matter where you are, how you do it. So, I don't know. Does that mean that our running back, Mark, suddenly gets a compensation or a stipend check deposited into his college account, which covers all fees and, you know, maybe any outstanding tuition needs he's got, and the excess just comes back to him? Or does that mean we put, you know, a check in his hand every week during the football season for the 11, 12 weeks that the college football season runs? And after that, he's just on his own. I don't know if there's a perfect answer for it. Certainly off the top of my head, I do believe that the revenue that's generated by college football and by college basketball certainly lends the question, lends to the table why we need to have the dialogue about should players be compensated. And in the freedom that is conference mergers, are we going to continue to allow a Florida State to just migrate from the ACC to the SEC to the Big East? You know, are we going to allow an Illinois team, which has been down for now for a couple of years, to get fed up with the Big Ten and migrate to the ACC? Most of you don't know this, you know, DePaul Blue Demon Basketball, which easily could have been part of the Missouri Valley Conference, could have been part of Big 12, is not part of the Big Ten, and you have to wonder why. Back in the days of Mark Aguirre and Ray Meyer, why didn't DePaul make that move and dominate the Big Ten? That would have been so simple. And I don't know if it was the fact that the Big Ten didn't want DePaul University or DePaul just had a vision of bigger money from the ACC or the Big East. Now they're in the Big East. I don't know if they've benefited dramatically or not, but the team has been down. It's still down. It's not a competitive program, you know, compared to some of those other squads. It just isn't. And I think in that context of the conversation, you have to be very, very careful about that decision when you decide that you're going to leave a Conference USA and go pursue a big-time conference without the young talent to really truly compete. And maybe you think by doing that you're heightening your availability to recruiting. Again, perhaps you are, perhaps you're not. You don't have to look far. Look at Illinois. A few years ago, Illinois could compete in a bowl game. Now, I mean, their basketball program was almost a lock every single year to get to the NCAA tournament just because it was Illinois basketball. Coming off the successes of Darren Williams and D. Brown and all those guys. I mean, I hope I said that right. Is that D. Brown or D.? Let me D. Williams. I'm looking. That group guy with Lester. Oh, my God. We're drawing blanks all over the right. Seriously? That's funny. All right. The great Illinois basketball teams of the past. We'll put it like that. Get myself out of that muck and mire. Anyway, the fact is it was a basketball school, and a lot of the young recruits I talked to as we were doing a lot of their highlight videos all said the same thing. Yeah, I would love to go to Illinois and play football, but it's a basketball school. Well, need I remind you that players like David Deal came from Brother Rice and went to Illinois and now has got two Super Bowl rings and is now on the NFL Network, has had a great career and done well for himself. Don't let the previous failures of a program stunt your academic and educational desires. If that school has the best programs, by all means, guys, go get it. All right, and same thing to the girls. All right, I've read some great stories about some of the talent we've had come out of the Chicagoland area that's gone to some of our local Big Ten schools and kind of just faded. Now, some of them were for health reasons, and they were kind of obvious, i.e., concussions and such. And that happens. It's just a part of the game. Unfortunately, it can deter and certainly postpone what you otherwise would be the success of your career. In the case of Kirsten Mangrum, she went to Illinois and battled with concussions. You know, once in her sophomore year, once in junior year. Next thing you know, by the time she's a senior, the basketball career is over. All right, I just can't take the bang and the potential for more head injury. Of course, those of you who play football and I know the game, you realize it's a barbaric game. It's very, very violent. There's always banging of helmets, and the reality is, it tends to be more of a money grab than concern and care for the players. Mark chimes in and says, basically, does that say Rutgers and Maryland coming to the Big Ten? Well, so what are we up to in the Big Ten now? I think we're already past 10, aren't we? We're like 12? 11 or 12 programs are already in the Big Ten. They're just going to have to call it, give it a whole new name now. And does that mean defections are coming? At what point do you put a restriction on? Now, Maryland coming there makes no sense whatsoever, okay? Makes no sense. I would have hoped that someone in the NCAA would simply say, regionality, all right? You look, this is where you are. This is where you should be. This is where you should be competing. Maryland should be competing either in the Big East or the ACC, period, okay? Here's an idea. Focus your money on the talent that's on the floor. Your program will simply get healthy over time. It's a lot like an economy. Yeah, it really is. Feedback the economy grows, talent grows, you grow. But so many people are looking for the quick hit. They're looking for the quick money, the quick dollar. They're looking for that boom, boom, bang, okay? I want Maryland to be a top five team now. Well, I'm sure we would. I'm sure coaches in Illinois would say the same thing about their program. I'm sure the coaches in Auburn would feel the same way about theirs, okay? You know who doesn't complain much? Duke. You know why? Because they did it the right way. They built a football program this past year that was able to compete. Now, that didn't happen overnight, but they did it the right way. The basketball program was, of course, the hallmark of the athletic world there. And now here comes the football program, and it's becoming a gigantic blessing to that whole organization. If they can be good for a couple of years and get this thing going the right way and be good and be steady and competitive consistently, watch that whole thing begin to balance itself out. Okay, you'll see great athletes come through there, not only on athletic scholarships but academic scholarships. All right, some of the talent that's at Duke now. It's amazing talent that hasn't even been revealed yet. Some of the freshmen they've got coming up that haven't even seen the floor. Simply amazing, all right? But I'm not, again, as someone who's often watched games where I wanted Duke to lose, okay, I give the program, the institution, its due credit. And, again, as an old-time Maryland Terrapin fan, I'd just like to see that whole money grab trying to get to the Big Ten to get that exposure. I mean, Nebraska did that. Nebraska left the Big 12 to come to the Big Ten. You know, and for what? That was a money grab and visibility. It wasn't so much to be an indictment of the Big 12, but the Big 12 was in trouble. It was in trouble in its leadership and its design. There was all kinds of speculation about money laundering. There's a bunch of issues going on there. So, again, for Nebraska coming to the Big 10, I guess it made sense, but Nebraska doesn't belong in the Big 10. It doesn't. But I would contend to you, if you have Illinois in the Big 10, if you have Michigan State, and now you've allowed Penn State to come to the Big Ten. The Penn State and the Big Ten made no sense to me whatsoever. That, again, should be ACC or Big East or be an independent, okay? Notre Dame, many people have speculated Notre Dame should be in a conference and not be the independent that it is. Good luck selling that to them. They don't need money, all right? Let them tell it. They're just fine, all right? They've got their endowments. They've got their private fund. They've got their boosters out there doing what they do. They're not hard up for change, all right? The University of Chicago, which once upon a time was a Big Ten program years ago. Your first Heisman Trophy winner came out of the University of Chicago. James Berwanger. He recently died a few years ago. But the fact is, what happened there? Why didn't that program last? Was it money? Well, they didn't want to grow. They couldn't grow because of where they were, right there in Hyde Park, just south of Chicago. Fact of the matter is, the harsh reality is it becomes a money grab, it becomes visibility. For Nebraska, Nebraska belongs in the Big 12, solidifying that conference back to its glory days. I remember when Oklahoma-Texas was the game of the week some Saturdays. All right, it just was. Texas in the Big 12, Oklahoma in the Big 12 on a Saturday afternoon. And, I mean, the names that would come out of those games, and that includes the Earl Campbells, when Georgia was part of that whole, big game Saturday, the Herschel Walkers, some of the names that came out of those big-time games, Oklahoma State, when Barry Sanders was a student there. I mean, come on, man. That's when it didn't matter what conference was playing, because that was so-and-so versus so-and-so. That was Texas-Oklahoma. You could be in the middle of Chicago, and you knew about Texas and Oklahoma football. All right, you just did. And when it came down to basketball, where to point out, this is where Duke has kind of built itself to. When you hear Duke, you know that place is going to be packed. It doesn't matter if they're on the road or if Duke goes to Texas, that place is packed. Duke can go to San Jose, that place is packed. Okay. Duke can go to the New Mexico and play with the Lobos in the pit, and that place is packed. They built that, and they've done it the right way. All right, none of this proposed collusion of crazy mergers between cities, values, and conferences, that's just crazy. All right, but I know it's a money grab. So if Rutgers is coming here, what does Rutgers intend to get? If Rutgers comes to the Big Ten, what are they intending to gain? They didn't get enough love in the AC, didn't get enough love in the Big East? Perhaps. Are they going to be competitive? How would you like to be the schedule maker for that? I mean, a football season is only, you know, what, 11, 12 games maybe at the most in a regular season? And all of a sudden, you've got to now fold into these school programs some of the, I guess they call it at-large games, or the games that were non-conference games that were great for those other small schools. Those are going to have to go away. They're going to have to. You know, Illinois is not going to be playing Eastern Illinois anymore. They may not. Well, they'll play Northwestern because that's in the Big Ten, but they won't be playing the Appalachian States, you know, to give Appalachian State $500,000 for their athletic programs just to play the game. That's all going to go away. So if this winds up being a gigantic discount program for these schools, well, that's disappointing. It truly is. But it appears to be the wave. It really does. All right, 52 past the hour. Loving this conversation, guys. Loving the topic dialogue. Still like to hear from you. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. If you've got an opinion or a perspective and you've got a cell phone next to you, call me. Love to hear from you. In the meantime, we need to do some news of the weird because that's just – it's always fun. It's always goofy. And I think I just love the intro. I do. I really, really do. All right. So – without further ado, as soon as I can find it, this is...
The Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports presents Vinny Moore's News of the Weird.
Wow. Okay. This week, March, what are we, the 2nd, 3rd, whatever day we are. The lead story, Prison Blues. Norway's prison system is regarded as among the most inmate-friendly in the world. But convicted mass murderer Anders Breivik is still not impressed. Breivik is serving 21 years for the 2011 bomb and gun attacks that killed 77 people. May already enjoy amenities unheard of for a comparable American murder. But he sent wardens 12 demands in November, including an upgrade to his manual typewriter and his PlayStation 2 to a PS3, with better access to game selection. He also demanded that his weekly government allowance, equivalent to $49, be doubled, and said if the torture of his living conditions is not relieved, he would be forced into a hunger strike. Breivik threatened a similar strike in 2012, citing inhumane conditions such as cold, coffee, lack of skin moisturizer, and insufficient butter for his bread. This dated Los Angeles Times, February 18, 2014. Mass murderer killed 77 people, and he's concerned about getting a PlayStation 3, butter for his bread. Torture of his living conditions is not relieved, he would be forced into a hunger strike. I am confident there's someone out there under the sound of my voice that has a perspective on this guy who's in a prison in Norway that I guess is more like club fed than a federal prison. An upgrade to his manual typewriter and his PlayStation 2 with better access to game selection. He's demanding that this weekly government allowance equivalent to $49 be doubled and said if the torture of his living conditions is not relieved, he would be forced into a hunger strike. If you've got an opinion on this week's News of the Weird, feel free to either give me a call at 619-639-4747 or send me a note on Facebook or a blurb of some sort. Give me your idea on what is going on. This has been News of the Weird. No argument there. Yeah, that's a wrap for News of the Weird.
The Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports presents Vinny Moore's News of the Weird.
Mikey, why is there a LeBron James click in my drop down? All right, we're going to do something a little bit different here. We've got a few minutes left to write. I don't know what this is, but I'm going to take a chance that we're not going to be in trouble with the SEC if we play this, all right? It says LeBron James, so in light of Miami trying to get its third championship, let's find out what's going on with LeBron.
LeBron James sitting down with us now, getting set for All-Star Game number 10. Double digits. When you hear 10 All-Star Games now, what are you thinking?
Make me feel old. No, but I'm blessed, man. You know, be part of All-Star Weekend. Here's my 11th straight year, but 10th straight in the All-Star Game, and I'm very blessed.
Are you amazed at how quickly it has gone by?
Absolutely. I told one of my family members, and I also told D-Wade, I said, man, we're hitting double cities now. We've been to Houston twice.
That's
we've
right.
been to L.A. twice, and now this is New Orleans twice for us. So, you know, we're doing some special things, and it's very, very unique and very fun to be a part of this.
Ron, everybody talks about the home court being so important, and you guys obviously took advantage of it last year. Looking forward the rest of this season, how important do you believe home court is?
No, I think it's important. You always want to put yourself in a position where you can better your chances. And, you know, us being, you know, a very, very good team at home, that helps. But at the same time, you understand that you have to win on the road as well. So, you know, for us, with these last, I think, 29, 30 games, our main focus is trying to have 15 guys that's available. And, you know, for us, if we're healthy, we can win anywhere. We can win in Miami, obviously, but we can win all over the country. And for us, that's our main thing. When we're clicking and our camaraderie and our chemistry is at a high because we've had guys in the lineup, then we're a tough team to beat.
When you started out the season shooting 60% for a while, that was I was fascinated by that because obviously you don't just live at the rim. A triple-double for a whole season, that might be asking too much, but how realistic is it for you to actually do that someday for a whole season?
Oh, it's very challenging. But, you know, I pride on taking very, very good shots and not trying to waste a possession. Now, you do have some throwaway shots or some heat check shots where, you know, you feel to see if you got it going. But for me, I take pride on, you know, putting our team in a position where we're taking very, very good shots. And it starts with me and, you know, it trickles down to everybody else. So, 60, I'm not sure, but I do take a lot of pride on that side of the floor on not taking, you know, home run shots, you know, a lot in the game.
How much